From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
The people are disagreeing with you, Jason Swigard.
What are they disagreeing with?
Your sunglasses take. Somebody said every expensive pair of Oakleys I have, I've lost in the Willamette River boating. My cheap ones, I still have a pair in every car.
No,
one false. You lose the expensive ones, you keep the cheap ones.
No, quite the opposite.
You seem to be an anomaly here.
I've had a number of cheap ones where you're not paying attention. It's not cognizant, but... You got to replace, $150, $200 pair of Ray-Bans. You're like, okay, where'd those bad boys go?
Where the hell are those sunglasses?
Yes.
And what happened to them? Another one, please don't feed that man any more money, or more importantly, more ego than he already gets more commercials and does more commercials than he's already in. Don't buy the sunglasses, dirt, for the love of God. Look, I appreciate you thinking that I have that impact. I don't think me buying a pair of Deion Sanders sunglasses is going to boost that man's ego than it's already been boosted.
No, it's healthy.
I think his ego is doing just fine. And I don't think another pair of sunglasses sold in Portland, Oregon will impact that in any way, shape, or form. But I do appreciate the sentiment. I'm a man of my word. I said, if he makes this happen, I'll either buy the sweatshirt or the sunglasses, and I refuse to wear a Colorado sweatshirt. I'm going to die on that hill. I'm not walking around in a Colorado sweatshirt. Not happening. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we? You ready for this?
Empty
the
sack. Let's sack it up.
Mail sack question. Have you guys ever been confronted with conflict and or fought due to something said on the air, whether it be sports, politics, or other opinions? If so, how did you handle it? I'm assuming that means with each other. I've never had a listener threaten to fight me. Although early in my career, I did have a listener tell me they wished my plane would have crashed. Okay. So that was a delightful welcome to the radio industry.
No, I don't think we've had any.
Not to that level, no. I mean, we got days where we can't stand each other. I mean, just when you work closely with people, you know, it's like living with somebody. This isn't like a normal. We function in our own little ecosystem here in this building where we're a part of a company, but we're kind of in our own little bubble and we're, you know, next to each other and talking to each other and dealing with each other every day. We don't just come in and sit in a cubicle and then be like, hey, I need to Zoom with you in 2 hours. It's, So when you work that closely with people, obviously you're going to, grind each other's gears from time to time, but never to that point, no. Mail sack question, you have to give up a food or beverage that is one of your favorites for a month. What would you choose? So I'm assuming food or beverage. So would you rather give up a favorite beverage or a favorite food for a month? I go food.
I don't know.
I don't really have a favorite beverage.
I don't have one thing where if I don't have it,
you'll be okay.
Where like I can't function,
can't survive without it.
I drink coffee in the morning, but if you said you got to give up coffee, I would go have breakfast tea.
Right, you find a way to.
Yeah, I'll get my caffeine.
Get an energy drink, get a Red Bull, get something else.
You can't have bourbon. Okay, I'll have gin or I'll drink wine. It's like, what?
Right.
Now, if you tell me I can't have booze, now that's a different.
You got to go dry for a month.
That's, now I had to do that when I was doing my tooth thing.
You did.
And
you were sober, cranky swag.
So, yeah. No, we just, I was like, okay. It was more as like, nope, I can't screw this up because one, it's painful. Two, it's costing me an S ton of money and I can't have it not work.
Nope, not doing this one again.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mail sack, do you see a day where college football evolves to be a full minor league, meaning no age restrictions? Anyone who doesn't make an NFL team can return and no class requirement to play. You just play football. One, I would say there's already a no class requirement. Anybody who's ever attended a university would tell you the guys, a lot of them don't go to class. Oregon State's best football season ever were guys who were on campus for like 6 weeks. And then
it's
they
actually,
gone,
like, they are. The requirements there are more stringent than they have been in quite some time with that graduation scale that they go through. You need to be, I don't think so. As long as it's affiliated with universities and the universities want to reap all of the rewards that come along with it, there will be some sort of minimal school affiliation. Like you have to be enrolled and you have to be on track to graduate in 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, people have been trying to do the amateur, you know, minor league football thing for a long time to try and make it happen. I don't think it'll ever take root. Nope. It's just, it's college football. The system isn't perfect. I understand a lot of people don't like it, but I don't think we're that far off the guardrails where it just becomes full on. The Clemson Tigers are now the AAA affiliate of the New York Giants. Like, I just, that will never happen.
If there was value in it for the NFL, they would have already done it by now.
Yeah, they would have tried to pull
either
it off.
They
tried NFL Europe. I mean, they've tried their hands at this stuff over the years. It just doesn't work for them.
It doesn't pencil out.
Because college football is your minor leagues. That's just, it already is, and so you don't need the affiliate. It will never get to that point. Mails that question, Dirt. We know your feelings on the current state of the Blazers, but what about your Giants? Feels like they are also just hovering around the 500 level. Without a plan. Buddy, would you like me to take up the final 36 minutes of the show? Because I can do that if you would like. I try and be very careful of this because sometimes I'll listen to shows and people talk about their individual fandoms, and I understand that does not impact. Like, a lot of people don't care about the Giants here. If you want me to rant about the San Francisco Giants, I could do it for hours and hours and hours.
I think this is more about...
They are a rudderless ship. They have been a rudderless ship for basically 10 years. They have not known what path they want to go. They won their last World Series in 2014. 3-5 was one of the most incredible runs I've ever been on as a sports fan.
Yeah.
And they chased it for the years after that. They extended guys who were part of their championship, which I understand is a very normal thing to do. Reward your guys. They held on too long. And in the aftermath of that, they've never been fully willing to go through a rebuild. They're very similar, I think. You know, I understand the comparison because I think there's, outside of the Blazers not winning anything that matters in 50 years, the Giants actually have. I think there's that fear in the market of, like, could we really go through a tank? Like, can we really go through a full rebuild, and what will it do to our fan
base? I don't see Giants fans doing what the Astros did a few years back.
No, I don't think they're, and they've never been willing to do it. I've always advocated that they should, and they've been in this weird gray area where we'll bring in a couple of veterans, but we got these prospects we're excited for, but then we won't bring up our prospects because we got a veteran playing this position, and it's just, Nick Ahmed started at shortstop for them last year on opening day, and one of their best prospects was a shortstop. Who I don't know if he's ever going to pan out to be anything in the big leagues. You know what I know about Nick Ahmed? He sucks. He can't hit. He's a good fielder.
The Diamondbacks got rid of him.
They got rid of him, and the Giants picked him. They let Brandon Crawford walk, and they're like, let's pivot to Nick Ahmed. That's going to work out well for us. Look, they're going to be fine this year. I mean, they have a chance to make one of the wild card spots because half the damn league makes the playoffs now, which I am not opposed to, but it also doesn't have a badge of honor like it used to when you used to make the playoffs. You might be the seventh team in the National League.
Well, as long as the rules are in place for the Dodgers to do what the Dodgers
I mean, they're gonna dominate
are doing,
the division. Yeah.
Then you need to have additional wild card spots. Because,
don't even get, I want to keep going on this. I'm going to lose my mind here. I'm going to blow a little bit of top.
As much fun as I am having and watching my Dodgers be the Dodgers, but the way that the financial structure of the entire league is set up, if you are going to have teams that are allowed to do what the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets and whoever else have done it, the Rangers did this at one point. They went and paid everybody in the free agent market.
Yeah.
If you're going to allow teams to do that where they can stack the deck so much in their favors, then you have to have these wild card positions to at least keep teams.
Oh, without a doubt.
Their
I'm
fan
totally
bases,
in with
because
that.
Come July, even if you're above 500, but you're 19 games out of first place, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with that. You got to keep your fan bases intrigued. Making the playoffs to me is not as meaningful of an accomplishment, I guess, as it used to be.
Where it's
like you used to win a division or to be one wild card spot and make it in.
You got to keep your fans from checking out.
No doubt about it.
The All-Star break.
No doubt about it. The other big thing that they've done, and look what you did, listener, you got me going. The other thing that they hired a nerd from the Dodgers to run their team. He's an analytical nerd who was making the calls on lineups every single game. And I cannot even begin. You want me to do a 3-hour radio show on this? I'll do it. The idea of like matchup lineups and openers and how it has just killed the sport for me as a fan.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you how unwatchable that crap is for me. You give me an opener for three of the five games in that week, and it's not even a starting pitcher. And oh, by the way, half your lineup starts on games against lefties and half your lineup starts in games against righties. And you don't have any household names anymore like you used to. This guy's your leadoff hitter. This guy's your number two hitter. This guy's the face of your franchise. No, I got a different leadoff hitter every game because he hits 10 points higher against left-handed pitching. It drives me nuts, man. So get the nerds out of baseball. The Giants have had far too many of them. I love hiring Buster Posey. He's now their general manager.
There you go.
You got a legend back calling
the
shots.
You need the nerds to go in the scouting department.
Have the nerds in the scouting. Yes. That's fine. I just get them out of lineups. Get them out of analytics. Like, yeah, I can't stand it, man. That's what their job. He ran Bruce Bochy out of town, which, you know, that turned out to be a great call.
Yeah.
So I like that Posey's back. Ownership situation sucks. That's how I feel about the Giants. Look what you did. Mel Sack, if you had to get into name-dropping competition with other radio hosts, ooh, what's the biggest name that you've been able to interview?
Mm.
This is a hard question to ask me because I forgot what I had for lunch yesterday. And Sprague will do this quite often where he's like, hey, remember we had him on the show? And I'll be like, what, we did? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll give you the ones that stick out the most in my mind. We were talking about the situation a little bit earlier in the show. Probably the coolest one for me for like Little Dirt was when we had Cliff Robinson in studio for like an hour. That was a couple of years ago before he passed away. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Growing up in Portland with the headband as I played basketball in my driveway, Cliff Robinson was my icon. And so locally, that one was great. We've had a lot of comedians in, some of them nice, some of them not nice. Bob Saget was awesome.
Yes.
Couldn't have been a nicer dude. Really fun to talk to. Down-to-earth guy, RIP Bob Saget. But I'm really bad with this stuff because I forget. There's going to be names out there. We've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah,
and I just
forget names. And I mean, I go back to when I was producing Primetime. We got to interview Arnold Palmer. So I got
to shake his hand
and escort him over to where we were when Peter tried to revive the old Fred Meyer challenge, the Umpqua Bank challenge. Hmm. We had Roy Jones Jr. in studio.
I remember
when
that
fight was here in Portland. That was pretty cool. Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker
came into the studio
Hootie!
When he was just crossing over, going solo with his country stuff. He was in at the Wolf, and we know he's a ginormous sports fan.
Huge sports fan, yeah.
And so he came down and got him to sing along in studio with his Burger King commercial. That's maybe one of the highlights of primetime ever. We're in
ever.
There. And we didn't ask him to sing, or he's like, he's not going to sing or whatever. It's like, that's fine. But we played the commercial, and he kind of
started the jingle along.
Humming along at the end of it with everybody.
You do this long enough, you run into some cool people. My list is not as good as some other ones. That list just blew mine out of the water. But still fun nonetheless. Fun memories. Two more quick ones here. Do you have a song that you immediately skip when it comes on? Mine are any version of Fast Car. Whoa, really? Red Red Wine and Landslide. Not a Landslide guy.
Not a Landslide guy.
Fast Car. How do you skip Fast? Okay.
He does not like alto female singers, apparently.
Evidently not. Red Red Wine, I'm okay if you want to skip that. I mean, I'm not anti-Red Red Wine.
Well, it's a Neil Diamond song.
Initially, it is.
It's hard to skip that one.
I don't think I have a song that I skip.
Anything by Taylor Swift, it's just getting booted.
Immediately. Not a single Taylor Swift song that you like.
No.
How much of her catalog have you actually listened to?
More than I would care to, because they play it a ton. There's oftentimes some Taylor Swift going on in between innings at Hops games.
I could see that.
And I think
she's a big deal.
I think Friendship Bracelet Day is going to be one of our promotions again. It was a big success last year.
How do you not?
And
ride the wave. Ride the wave.
So, yes. So,
yeah, I can't really speak to her catalog. I have not listened to a Taylor Swift song in a long time. I know some of her main hits, but I don't ever delve into Taylor Swift's catalog outside of her early country days. That's all I got.
You'll probably get me to skip a Coldplay song. I'm not a giant Coldplay guy.
That's a good one. U2 is that way for me. I don't know why. I'm anti-U2.
U2's grown on me over the years.
Have they over the years?
Yeah.
Last one. Mail Sack, you have to pick one or the other. Trapped in an elevator for 48 hours after a poorly officiated game. With Dan Hurley or Mick Cronin?
Dan Hurley.
Not even close. Dan Hurley.
Dan will make me laugh.
Yes.
Mick will not make me laugh.
No. I actually just genuinely don't like Mick Cronin. Dan Hurley's a douche, and I get it, but I also kind of like his douche.
Dan will, but you can crack a joke. Like, Dan will tell a funny story after a while.
It'll
or
calm down. 48
it'll calm
hours
down,
in.
Or he's, yeah. or, yeah.
It'll be fun.
Mick Cronin's just cranky.
There you go. Belzac, every Tuesday at 8:15. The people not happy that you're besmirching Taylor Swift.
I realize I'm on an island, but I've planted my flag on that island.
I will say this, and this is the kind of the way of the beehive, too. Like, that level of fandom makes me really uncomfortable. Like, crying at the thought of or sight of seeing somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Is really weird to me.
I
have a lot of fandoms in my life. I like, outside of winning a championship, but that's different, I guess, than so just seeing her sing a random song. I don't know. Also, why are we not doing 3 hours of golf and hockey? What's up, Dirt? There's no Sprague today. I was tempted. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
Giants golf and hockey for 3 hours? What
we
do
can
think?
Do a little Stanley Cup preview, do some Masters preview.
Let's go. Hey, right around the corner. The commercials
we'll
are picking
recap,
up, baby.
The Oregon Ducks women's golf team ranked number 3 in the country,
they might
by
win a
the
national
way.
Title,
they were
you tell
in first
me.
Place. They're playing the Charles Schwab Women's Collegiate Invitational.
Look at us bringing home another
Colonial.
Natty. They call us Natty U, baby. That's all we do.
There you go.
That's all we do. That is the Mail Sack. I love the segment.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.